Bible's on you. If you don't have a Bible, can you put up your hand just so I can see? If you don't have a Bible with you right now, do we have enough spare Bibles to cover that? I think so we don't all just go rushing out. So if you have a Bible, or if you're about to get a Bible, could you turn to 2 Timothy? It's near the back. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, chapter 3. Second Timothy, chapter 3, and it's not a very long reading. I'm just going to read from verse 14 to 17. So verse 14 to the end. Second Timothy, chapter 3, verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, teach us from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as we look at the topic of Scripture today, I want to think about four questions. Why? What? How? And how? We have two hows at the end. Why, what, how? So let's think about that first question. Why does God use Scripture? Right? Why doesn't he communicate through some other way? Why does God use Scripture? Question, why does God use Scripture? Answer, because God speaks through Word and Spirit. Right, the answer is because God speaks through Word and Spirit. Now in the Bible, the word Spirit also means the word breath. Okay, I don't know if that's new for you, but the word spirit, the word wind, and the word breath, they're all the same word. So if you like, God speaks through word and breath. So I'm going to do an experiment with you guys to show you why God speaks through word and breath. Okay, so we're going to say together, Youth Camp 2026. Okay, that's what we're going to say. But the first time we're going to do it is you're going to form the words in your mouth, but you're not going to use your breath. Okay? Form the words in your mouth. Don't use your breath. 3, 2, 1. Did you get that? That's what happens when I speak with word and no breath. Okay, now what we'll do is we're going to say the same words without forming the words, but you can use your breath. Okay? 3, 2, 1. Okay, nonsense, right? Okay, now let's do it together. Let's say it now. You can use words and you can use your breath. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Youth Camp 2026. Now that made sense, didn't it? Right? God speaks through word and spirit. And this is how he does everything. And we're going to, at the end, get to the fact that God does that through the Bible. But I just want you guys to see that this is how God has always worked and how he's always done things in the world. If you turn with me to Genesis 1, so that's back at the beginning of the Bible. Genesis 1. Genesis 1, and I'm just going to read the first three verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Right there in the beginning of all things, what do we see? We see in verse 2 the Spirit of God, the breath of God. And then we see in verse 3, "And God said," and we see the Word of God. And so even back in creation, how does God act? He acts through word and spirit. Well, actually, this tells us something really fundamental about how God relates to the world. You've probably heard by now that God is holy. In fact, the first song we sang was "Only a Holy God" at camp. God is holy. And when we think of holiness, we think of purity, of being clean. I think of the color gold. I don't know why. That's what we tend to think of when we think of the word holy. And that's true. Those things are correct. But really, the word holy just means separate or other or different. And so when we say that God is holy, we say that he's so utterly different from what we are. He's so utterly other. He's transcendent. And we're not. He's infinite and we're finite. And so there's a really deep question. How can God, who is so other, interact with anything that is not him? How can God, who is so different and other, interact with anything that is just completely different? How can he do that? Well, the Bible's answer is God does that by interacting through his word and his spirit. Right? God acts, he creates, he interacts, and he speaks through word and spirit. And we see it all the way at the beginning in Genesis. By his spirit, God says, "Let there be light," and there was light. But it's not just in creation. It's also in redemption when God saves us. And so let's kind of flip now to the beginning of the New Testament. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and I'll read to you Luke chapter 1 from verse 30. And the angel said to Mary, this is the angel appearing to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." This is promising Jesus. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin? This kid's not going to have a human father. How's it going to work?" Verse 35, and the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." So when God acts to save us by sending Jesus, what do we see in action? We see the Holy Spirit. You with me? Are you following so far? Okay. Now, if you jump one more time to the next book. So it's not too far away. Next book, John chapter 1. John chapter 1, I'll read verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. Right, and so when we see when God sends Jesus to save us, the Spirit overshadows Mary, and who is formed in her womb? The Word become flesh. So once again, I hope you guys can see, you're sensing a pattern here. God saves through Word and Spirit. God creates through Word and Spirit. God saves through Word and Spirit. And so what should we expect? How should we expect God to relate to us now? I don't know if you figured out by now. It's going to be by Word and Spirit. So we'll jump to our last passage, and I promise you we'll stay here. That passage is the one we started with. So back to 2 Timothy, and then no more jumping. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me read again, verse 14 to 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Now, some people think, the Bible just seems so small and so random. Why does God choose that way? But if we think about it, it's actually quite logical. God speaks through Word and Spirit, and if there's a message he wants to show us, and he wants that message to continue unchanged, what do? You write it down. It's really as simple as that. God has spoken through Word and Spirit, and we've written it down, and that's what we have. So it's not that complicated. I hope you see that actually it's logical. If God is going to speak to us through Word and Spirit, and if he wants that message to be unchanged and preserved, then you get a book. And that makes sense. And so I don't know, have a look closely, verse 15. This letter is written by Paul. What does he talk about? He talks about the sacred writings. So it's something that's been written down. But then also in verse 16, scripture is breathed out by God. Right, remember breath, spirit? That's the spirit, is the one who's behind the writing down of scripture. Okay, so the why question, why does God use scripture? It's because God speaks through Word and Spirit. And we just have that written down for us. Now, what? What is Scripture? Now, question two, what is Scripture? Now, the answer, Scripture is a human book inspired by God. Scripture is a human book inspired by God. Now, like I said, verse 15, the sacred writings, who do you think wrote it down? It wasn't an angel who wrote it down. It was humans. Humans put pen to paper, or more likely something like quill to parchment, and wrote it down. Humans wrote it down. But that's not all it is. This is not just a human book, because verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God. God inspired it. I don't know if you know what the word, or where the word inspire has come from. Inspire? Spire? Does anyone know what the word spire has to do with? No, yes, no, yes? Oh yeah, sure, like the building, okay. But do you guys know what the word respiration means? It means breathing, right? That's because spire means breath. And so inspire is, again, the language of God has breathed out his word. Okay, so you ever hear that term, maybe it sounds a bit scary, when we say scripture is inspired, or the inspiration of scripture, think breath. God has breathed out this word. So God has inspired human authors to write down a message. Right? Now, if you think about what's going on here, verse 15, read carefully, sacred writings. Is that singular or plural? What do you guys think? It's not a hard question. Plural, right? Because there's an S on the end. Sacred writings. And so what we have is it a book? It seems more like a library. It's a collection of sacred writings. So the Bible is a library. But also verse 16, all scripture. Is that singular or plural? It's singular. There's no S on this side, right? So there's also an idea where scripture is singular. It's one book. Okay? So the Bible is a library and it's one book. And so let's just have a brief think about what that might mean. Why is it a library? Well, here's a bunch of reasons. You can write them down or you can stick them in your head. One reason is that the Bible was written and compiled over a long period of time. 1 to 1,500 years. We say the first five books maybe 1500 BC to 1200 BC, we're not sure exactly. And then the last letter written, you know, before 100 AD. Then you've got 1 to 1,500 years. That's a long period of time. And so in that sense, it's a library. It's a collection of books over a long period of time. And as you might know, there are many books in the Bible. And there are 66 books in the Bible. Right? So it's a library. And also, we said this was written down by humans, but not just one human. It was written down by many different human authors. Right? So that's why it's a library. There are many different human authors and many different genres. Now, genre might be a tricky term. It just means a type of writing, right? Different types of writing. You know that you read a textbook at school differently from how you might read a novel for fun. They're different genres. And so in that sense, the Bible is also a library. We've got lots of different genres. We've got law in the first five books of the Bible. We've got histories in much of the Old Testament. We've got poetry. We've got prophecy. We've got visions. And then in the New Testament, we have four biographies to start with. Another account of history in the Acts of the Apostles. You've got a ton of letters, personal letters that people write, one person to another, and then some letters that one person has written to a group, and then you've also got visions at the end. Right? So there's loads of different genres in the Bible. This library is not uniform in what sort of books we have. Right? So it's a library. But it's also one book, right? We've seen this both plural and singular. And why is it one book? Again, verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God. And so we have ultimately one author. One divine author. Many human authors, one divine author. God. And it tells one story. The story of salvation. Have a look at verse 15 again. How from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation. This is the story the Bible tells, the story of salvation. Many different books, one story, salvation. And it's a story that has one main character, Jesus. So again, verse 15. How from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. One author, God, one story, salvation, one main character, Jesus, and one main message, faith in Jesus. The sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. One book, one author, one story, one main character, one main message. And you might think, oh wow, I've read bits of the Bible that seem really unrelated to Jesus. And that's fair enough. It actually takes some work to be able to see, to get into the depths of what things mean. But if it's helpful, there's two parts of the Bible. There's the Old Testament and there's the New Testament. Actually, from your perspective, it's like there's the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the way to understand this, broadly put, is that the Old Testament points forward to Jesus. Because we've got Old and New, and something's happened in the middle that makes the shift from Old to New. And the thing that has happened in the middle is the coming of Christ. His birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. That's the middle event. And the Old Testament, 39 books, they point forward to the coming of Jesus. They do it through illustration. You might have seen in some of your discussion groups the idea of the sacrificial system. There are illustrations. And there are also prophecies and promises that he's going to come. Old Testament, Jesus. And then the New Testament records what Jesus did and the implications of that. And so there you can see that even though at first glance sometimes it doesn't feel that way, that whole, this one big library is one book, authored by God, story of salvation, main character Jesus, and the one message is faith in Jesus. So what is Scripture? Scripture is a human book inspired by God. And if you'd like to add, also, it's a library and a book. All right, that's why and what. Now the first how. How does God use Scripture? How does God use Scripture? The answer, God uses Scripture to save and equip us. God uses Scripture to save and equip us. Let's tease that apart. Verse 15 again. The sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So how does God use Scripture? He uses it to save us. And he does that by presenting the gospel to us in Scripture. So we've already had three talks. Why Jesus? Why the cross? Why faith? And in each case, we didn't just get the message out of thin air. We didn't just imagine it. We found it in the Scriptures. Scripture presents the gospel to you. And so God uses Scripture to save. But it's not just to save at the beginning. It's to equip you for your entire life.
Verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent. Man of God here is not male. Man of God here is like the agent of God, the messenger of God, someone who works for God, may be competent, equipped for every good work. Now, I just want to tease that into two different things. Firstly, that God uses scripture positively to teach and train us. Did you spot that in verse 16? Profitable for teaching and for training in righteousness. As the scripture points out areas in our life that we need to grow in, that we need to mature, that we need to add to ourselves in a positive way. But on the other hand, God uses scripture negatively to rebuke and correct us. Again, verse 16, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction. So there's a negative aspect to this as well. Because unlike what the world might tell you, you are not okay as you are. Now, God loves you as you are, but he doesn't want to leave you as you are. He wants to change you for his glory and for your good. And that means there'll be parts of you that you'll need to cut off. And there'll be parts of you that will need to die. And scripture is what's going to show us what needs to go. Now, we live in an age where that sounds awful. It's all about embracing who you are, embracing all your flaws. Again, yes and no. Yes, in the sense that God does love you as you are. He sent Christ to die for you while you were still his enemy. But he wants to change you. And he doesn't want to change you to be someone who's not you. Again, we live in an age where the idea of being inauthentic is terrible. To be someone you're not, repressing yourself, being fake. No, that's not what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying there's parts of you that need to change, that you need to grow, that you need to cut off, in order that you might be more truly who you are, to be who you are meant to be. I've got a little son, Sam. He's 3 years old. He is beautiful. But if there are parts of him that don't change, he's going to be a monster. I love him as he is, but if I were to leave him as he is, that would be an act of hate, not love. So God uses scripture to equip us positively by teaching and training us, and negatively by rebuking and correcting us. And that's not comfortable, but that's okay. I hope you got from yesterday's male and female groups that to become men and women, mature, useful, you'll have to do hard things. And scripture tells us what. So the question, how does God use scripture? Well, God uses scripture to save and to equip us. Why, what, how, and how? You can tell I'm not very creative. The second how should we use scripture? How should we use scripture? Well, the answer is really simple. By reading it. How should we use scripture? By reading it. I hope you can see now how important it is to read scripture. You know, Christians go on and on about like praying and reading the Bible, praying and reading the Bible. And it sounds like, okay, you just keep saying the same thing. But it's because it's the key. It's like saying you don't need to eat. You don't need to breathe. Right? It's like what Dave was saying yesterday about when do you need to rely on God? It's like the question of when do you need to breathe? Well, you just use scripture by reading it. Okay, I made it a little bit simplistic. There is more to it. And again, let's go to that passage that we've been looking at to see more. So how should we use scripture? We use scripture by reading it. Well, the first thing I want to say is to read all of it. Verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God. All scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. All of it. Not just some parts, not just the easy parts, not just the parts that I like, not just the New Testament, all of it. And so I want it to be one of your life goals is to read all of the Bible and not just once. But all of it is precious and all of it is valuable. Now you might be hearing me say that and thinking, okay, that means when I get back, I need to slog through Leviticus. And some of you don't even know what that means, and it is exactly as it sounds. It's a hard slog. Now, I'm not saying you should just read it on your own and just kind of, no idea what I'm doing, I'm just wasting my time, but I'm just going to read it because Abe said so, right? I'm not saying that. Actually, we should get help to read the scriptures. And that actually leads to my second point about reading scripture. Scripture is read in relationship with others and not in isolation. Our scripture is read in relationship with others and not in isolation. I'm not saying don't do your personal Bible reading, do that, but I'm saying there's so much more than just reading by yourself with your own thoughts. God has given you brothers and sisters, God has given you teachers, God has equipped the church with writers who have written books to help you understand. And so scripture is read in relationship with others, not in isolation. And where do we see that? We actually see that in verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. From whom you learned it, acquainted from childhood. Now, if you actually look in the rest of this letter, you see maybe who's involved in that whom. And this letter is written to a guy called Timothy. Paul is speaking to Timothy, telling Timothy to read the scriptures and to remember from whom he learned it. And that whom includes Paul. It includes his mother, Eunice. It includes his grandmother, Lois, and probably just includes other members of the church. Okay? And so we actually see in the Bible an instruction, not just to read by yourself, that's good, but to read it with other people. And so that's what I would encourage you to do. Read it with others. Find a friend at youth group to read the Bible with, and then to chat about it. Other people have insights that you don't have. Or ask one of your youth leaders to read the Bible with you, or to find a book that helps you explain some of the tricky bits. Or maybe to some other older Christian at church, an older youth, or a young adult, or an old man like myself, or mum or dad. Read with other people. I'm really encouraging you to do that, and Paul gives us license to do that. Read all of it. Read in relationship with others. And finally, ask for the Spirit's help. We go back to what we said at the beginning. How does God speak? He speaks through word and Spirit. And so we've already seen the Spirit at work in inspiring the human authors of Scripture, but the Spirit's work doesn't end there. The Spirit is also at work in us when we read, opening our eyes to understand what's going on. And we are meant to ask the Spirit's help. Again, verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God. The Spirit is there. And if the Spirit wrote it, the Spirit can show us things. And so when you read the Bible by yourself in your personal quiet time or with other people, as I encourage you to do, begin with prayer. Really simple. I'm just going to give you an example prayer that you can use. As long as you mean it, that's okay. You can just say, Heavenly Father, help me to understand your word by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. It's that simple, right? Don't overthink it. Just pray and rely on the Spirit and read.
So let's summarize.
Why does God use scripture? Because God speaks through word and spirit. What is scripture? Scripture is a human book inspired by God. How does God use scripture? God uses it to save and equip us. And how should we use scripture? You use scripture by reading it. Reading all of it, reading it with others, and reading with the Spirit's help. So why don't I pray that that's what we're going to do when we go back to our normal lives after camp. Heavenly Father, help us read your word. And as we read your word when we've gone back home, as we read your word with other people, show us what you mean by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.